first reading is taken from Psalm 22, and it is a psalm of David. And it begins at verse 25. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all those who sleep in the earth bow down, before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1101. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. Lord, as we meditate on your word today, help us to be encouraged, inspired, and renewed in our Christian walk by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we had the Oscars a while ago. This is my own personal one. Don't ask me how I got it. No questions, no lies. Now, we're coming into the Cannes Film Festival, so I have movies on my mind. Now, does anyone recognize this film clip? Now, there's a clue on the screen. It's not rocket science. Anybody spot where it's from? Just watch this. Woohoo! Okay. How did you know? Yes, don't worry, he does have a parachute there. Now, yes, this is a scene from one of the recent Mission Impossible movies. Do you know the music? Dun, 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 dun. Very tense. Now, the plot revolves around a small, fearless band of people who, amid terrifying challenges, manage to defeat evil and save the world. Now, people go to see these kinds of movies in their droves because we love stories of the oppressed who turn imminent disaster into success. Stories where darkness is crushed and goodness and love prevail. Where underdogs become heroes because of their special gifts and dedication to the cause. And because of these gifts and dedication, in every one of the Mission Impossible movies, there's a happy ending and the mission has become possible. Now, we're going to turn to a different mission today. Now, this blockbuster is a far better one, so I hope you brought your popcorn. If you didn't, you can have some of mine. Share, it's all about sharing, okay? Now, but here, there's no mass media. There's no PR team to promote it. There's no million-dollar budget. There's no stunt team. And there's no wardrobe department standing by. Now, we don't need to go to the nearest cinema to see this incredible story either. We just need to go to our nearest Bible. There's one in the pews, so you can turn to page 1101, and we start on verse 26. Page 1101. Now, this story is even more gripping because it's true. Now, in these pages, here's a mission that really did seem impossible. Because in the book of Acts, we start with a fearless band of devoted followers of Jesus with no real money, no education, no social standing. In fact, they are an overt threat to the status quo in the eyes of the Roman and Jewish authorities, where people like Saul are hunting them down, literally dragging them out of their homes, threatening them, beating them, imprisoning them. And they are told, would you stop preaching about this man, Jesus? Ah. But they don't stop. Won't stop. Can't possibly stop talking about this man, Jesus. This God, Jesus. And let's just ask ourselves, are we like this? Does Jesus inspire us to talk about him too? Or are we easily silenced? So despite all these dangers, many of the followers set off in all sorts of directions, largely on foot, remember, gifted and emboldened by the Holy Spirit, who had been poured out on them on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. So they embarked on a far-reaching mission to tell of the death, resurrection, and exaltation of Jesus Christ. And this good news spread like wildfire across the world, a fire that continues to burn strongly today because of what those heroes began. Now, although the mission of spreading the gospel looked impossible in human terms, God made it entirely possible. Now, our passage from Acts 8 today focuses on a man named Philip. Now, this is not the Apostle Philip, easily confused, who was one of the 12 original disciples of Jesus. This is another Philip, okay? He's a Greek, he's a Hellenistic Jew, and he's a follower of Jesus, of course, who was chosen by the apostles to be one of seven men filled with the Spirit and wisdom, it says in Acts 6, to help with some of the financial and practical responsibilities of launching a new church. It was going to be work, right? So Philip helped with such things as distributing meals to the widows in the Greek-speaking community of Jerusalem, because he spoke Greek, yeah? And then he had great success in going out on several mission trips to share the gospel of Christ. Now, this passage we have in front of us today describes one of his encounters on one of his trips. In verse 26 of our passage, look at the very detailed, precise directions Philip gets from an angel. And God gives us very precise instructions too, many times. And they come usually via the promptings of the Spirit. But maybe you've seen an angel. But they come in many ways, but usually by the Spirit. But do we obey? Maybe we're told to give some money to a homeless person or pick some clothes off the shop floor, even if we're not the ones who dropped them off the hanger. Or maybe we're prompted to talk about the gospel in some situation, to speak about Jesus lovingly and tactfully. So do we talk? Or do we make excuses not to? It doesn't have to make sense to us. It's about being obedient and trusting that God knows what he's doing. So here's Philip. He's told to go onto a desert road. You can see his route on the map there, that big arrow down at the bottom. Now, a desert doesn't sound very appealing, does it? Now, commentators say that the word desert could have applied to either the road or the city of Gaza itself. And how our hearts are heavy for the way Gaza is being turned into a desert once again at the minute. And we pray, Lord, for peace and restoration to come into that conflict. Now, Philip's probably wondering what on earth God's purpose could be on this road. But he's wise enough to trust that God knows better than him, and he's obedient. So lo and behold, on this desert road, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, eunuchs, of course, were castrated males. They were usually put in charge of a harem. But they were often seen as very trustworthy, and they could rise to high rank and authority, like the one in today's story has done. He's today's equivalent of a minister of finance or secretary to the treasury. But what's more interesting is that this man has traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, about 1,500 miles one way, to learn more about the true God of Israel. Now, that's dedication for you. Now, back then, Ethiopia was in the region we now know as southern Egypt and northern Sudan. So here's a man from Africa, far from home, seeking spiritual truth. And despite his money and rank, he knows that there's something missing in his life. And it makes me think, too, how far do we put ourselves out to seek God? Well, you'll get extra points because you found a parking place this morning, or you walked, or you sidestepped the triathlon diversions, and some of you come very far every week. Do we put ourselves out geographically for him? Or financially? Do we put ourselves outside our comfort zone in some way? Now, it would have taken this man about a month to get to Jerusalem by chariot. Now, he probably came for some religious festival, but now he's going back home. But he's more spiritually thirsty than ever. The trip to the temple, interestingly, has not given him the answers he needs. Now, he's part of an entourage, okay? Remember, this Ethiopian man is of high rank, so he's not the one holding the reins in his hand. He has a chauffeur, okay? He's in the back of the chariot, absorbed in reading a scroll from Isaiah. By the way, do we give time for reading scripture and let ourselves get really absorbed by it? This man is really absorbed. Now, he's long past primary school age, but he is reading aloud. Now, why is that? Well, that's what most people did in those days. And as well as that, the writing on the scroll was maybe a bit squashed together too. So he had to read it very carefully, take his time, making sure he was getting it right. And the very fact that he even has a scroll with the writings of Isaiah on it speaks to his status. Now, here again, Philip gets more precise heavenly instructions. So the Spirit says to Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. And then he overhears the Ethiopian reading this Isaiah passage. And he's reading things like a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb before its shearers, deprived of justice. His life was taken from the earth. Now, this is considered to be the most important Old Testament text, that would point to Jesus' future suffering. So Philip runs up to the chariot and he says to the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man says, "Well, no, I don't. I need somebody to explain it to me." But do you notice that it's the man in mission, Philip, who instigates the conversation and he offers to be helpful? And the Ethiopian man is glad of the offer. The Holy Spirit seems to be prompting him too and is increasing his spiritual thirst. Now, the Ethiopian is understandably confused about what he's reading because even Jewish religion experts were confused over the meaning of this Isaiah passage. So once invited, up hops Philip into the chariot beside the Ethiopian man, and an incredible conversation about Jesus begins. Now, Philip would have explained that Jesus is the innocent lamb of the passage, the Son of God who was deprived of justice and crucified by ignorant men. And just like Paul's super video this morning, then he would have explained in no doubt animated terms about Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and how we can be rid of our sins and have eternal life. And obviously, as we see later, Philip had also explained how we're reborn by the Spirit through baptism in water. How this Ethiopian man's eyes must have lit up. And there are so many people out there, folks, who are aching for some good news. And the good news of Jesus is the best they're ever going to get. All we have to do is be willing to be interrupted from our routine, to be available for God so that he can use us for his purposes. Even if it's not convenient. Maybe you'll be in the middle of the supermarket, but you need to drop it all and go and pick up a friend who needs your help. Maybe I'll be in the middle of marking an unending pile of essays and one of my children phones up with a problem. I'll be on a deadline, but I need to lay down the pen and focus on them. Maybe like with Philip, a complete stranger needs our help or advice. God wants our willing, available hearts because kind acts of love can lead to an opportunity to share the gospel. And this next bit's really important. If people don't see followers of Jesus acting in love, then why on earth would they be attracted to hearing about Christianity? The love of God for people is at the heart of the gospel. And it's this sacrificial, unconditional love that will offer people what the world does not offer them. If we don't walk and talk love, the power of the gospel message will not be activated. Philip knew this. He was willing to be interrupted and used by God. He gives up his time and he's loving and respectful with this complete stranger. And after some time talking, maybe a good few hours, the Ethiopian has been transformed from a man with all the questions to a man with the answer. The enthusiasm in his words almost leaps off the page, doesn't it? And we see him converted to life-changing faith in Jesus Christ. And then on finding some unexpected water along the road, this man asked to be baptized. Now, Philip is never going to see this man again, so he takes the opportunity. And here is a Gentile, the first man from the nation of Africa to be baptized. Bravo, Philip. Now, Philip had obviously been explaining to the Ethiopian that baptism is an outward symbol of signing up to the new covenant life with God that Jesus offers. Now, Jesus himself had told his disciples that they should be baptized and the people of all nations should be baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity. Because in biblical times, if you didn't eat the right things, touch the right things, follow the right procedures, then you could not get right with God. You would be impure and unclean. And this is how all Gentiles were considered. So if a Gentile wanted to get right with God, he would have to take a bath to cleanse himself of his ritual impurities. And then John the Baptist came along and said that baptism was a way of washing sin and guilt out of our hearts. Now, John's baptism meant repentance, but baptism after Jesus meant that, yes, we still get rid of our sins, but we're also brought to a new life with him. We are reborn by water and the Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that baptism is like Noah's Ark. The water carries you away to safety from a wicked world. Or if we think about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, going through water brought them out of slavery and into a new life of freedom. Now, baptism does that for us spiritually. So as the Holy Spirit is explained in the Bible as being poured out on new believers, water is sprinkled on the head at baptism. And in Romans 6, Paul also says that baptism represents death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus. And that's why some people like to be fully submerged in water when baptized. It's the image of being buried with Christ under the water, having our sins washed away and rising again to new life with him. It represents a rebirth. But sprinkled or dipped, you're equally reborn. And baptism also signs us up to Christ's church in a public way, because family and friends and fellow believers encourage us on our Christian way. Have you enrolled into the Church of Christ yet? If you'd like to talk about being baptized, we're delighted that our new chaplain will be here very soon, and he can help you prepare for this. But it's important to remember, we are not put right with God by religious ceremonies. Baptism is not necessary for our salvation. We always need to remember we are saved by God's grace through our faith. Now, in the passage, we see that this eunuch's life has changed forever. His spiritual thirst has been quenched. Now, according to the laws of the people of Israel, eunuchs were spiritually unclean. They were seen as neither male nor female. They were seen as other. They were outsiders. And as such, they were not allowed to participate in the rituals of the temple. So as a eunuch, not only was this man ritually and religiously far off, but he also represents, as an Ethiopian, those who were geographically and ethnically far away as well. But Jesus includes him and takes him into his heart and spiritual home forever. Because with Jesus, social, racial, and ethnic barriers all crumble. And there are so many people who, like this eunuch, have felt outsiders to the church. They felt that they don't belong or they won't be welcomed for some reason. So it's our responsibility as lovers of Jesus to love everyone who comes through those doors. Whoever we are, whatever we have done or not done, Jesus loves us. He wants us. We are accepted, included in his heart, and welcome in his church. Nothing can separate us from him. The only barriers to Jesus are the faulty ones we create in our own minds, or the faulty ones that others create for us. Christ is available to all who believe and call on his name. So no wonder the Ethiopian was rejoicing. This God-sent man who appeared out of the dust behind his chariot changed his life forever. Do you remember the time when you came to Jesus? When your life changed forever? Which Christ-loving people were instrumental in changing your future? Because we give thanks for them today. Now maybe your change came slowly. Maybe it came quickly, but I hope it made you rejoice like this Ethiopian. I hope you still rejoice. Because now in this race of life, it's our turn to pass on the Christian baton to those coming up behind. We tell others about Jesus because we love him. We love people. The two important commandments that Jesus said, right? So we want the people that we love to know about him. It's logical. And it blesses us too, by the way. And the fact that Philip seemed to have been miraculously zipped away after this by the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to bother the Ethiopian either, because it probably just confirmed to him that Philip was God's representative. Now, this man was going to go back to Africa and spread the amazing story of Jesus in his corner of the world. And isn't that what we're all called to do? And in the meantime, Philip had more work to do. Because God is never finished with any of us. Doesn't matter how old or young we are, he's never finished with us. That's why walking with him is so exciting. And the book of Acts also tell of other missionaries such as Barnabas, Peter, and of course, Paul, who made it their life's work to spread the good news of Jesus. Those brave followers of Christ faced incredible odds and obstacles to advance the gospel and God's kingdom here on earth. It mostly cost them their lives too. But they kept on going right to the end. They finished their race. Now, God's probably not going to ask us to lay down our lives for the advancement of his kingdom here on earth. But what are we willing to do? What holds us back? Are we scared of being embarrassed, judged, excluded, laughed at? Because there's still work to be done for God's kingdom. And many people don't know or don't want to know Jesus. But you know, we can't worry about that. We don't know how people are going to respond to the message, but that's not our job. Our job is to pass on the message, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to do the rest. We don't save people. We just tell the message. The Holy Spirit saves people. But I do truly believe with all my heart that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit ourselves, we, like these biblical heroes, we just can't stop talking about Jesus. And love and enthusiasm for Jesus is infectious. But it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes even Christians get tired and fed up. Sometimes it's hard to look after our own faith, never mind evangelize to other people. Doubts and fears and worries, they're normal. We're human, right? But God understands, and he doesn't want us to be burnt out Christians. He is not a slave driver. Sometimes we need the rest on every level. And we certainly don't lose points with God if we haven't evangelized our quota for the week. We don't hunt people down and aggressively pursue them to hear God's word, of course. It's a more natural thing where we lovingly and gently talk about God when he presents an opportunity to us. And when we're feeling flat about our faith, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up again. But being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we have more of him. It means that he has more of us and that we surrender to him. Because we're not supposed to do anything in this life on our own strength, including evangelism. Like everything else with God, it's a partnership. Now, the author Henry Jacobson said, he wrote a book on Acts, and he said, one of the greatest miracles of all time is the continued existence of the Christian church. That's very interesting, isn't it? You know, when you think about the attack it has had, it's still here and it's thriving and growing. It's on fire. The establishment and growth of the Church of Christ defied all the odds. But God cannot and will not be stopped in his plan to call all his beloved children to himself. His mission is entirely possible. And in a way, the book of Acts is ongoing. Because you and I are part of a fearless band of people who can deliver the gospel. Aren't we? Faithful followers of Jesus, Spirit-gifted and equipped for the task ahead. Because the happy ending in films is a fantasy. But Jesus defeats evil. He saves the real world. He crushes darkness, and goodness and love prevail. The human spirit seeks love. We seek justice over evil. Our deepest nature demands these things. But people are trying to satisfy these internal longings in worldly ways. But this is secondhand living. So our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to tell people that Christ is the answer. And that our eternal happy ending is just around the corner. Jesus meets every single need of our heart, mind, and spirit. Everything we could ever desire. Jesus offers first-hand living. And it's free. And it's fulfilling. And it's forever. Amen.